And thank you very much. It's such a beautiful day outside. If there was a day that you needed to sunbathe and put your skin in contact with the ultraviolet radiation of the sun so you can make vitamin D, today might be the day to do that. I think it was like 52 degrees outside. It feels so good. It is just absolutely beautiful. Don't you dare even think about staying in the house all day long. You've got to go outside. All right, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. Let me give you the number to the station here in case somebody wants to call. 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Yes, I try to field as many questions as I can. And let's just say it this way. You were in the driver's seat here. You're your own best advocate. You decide what you want to do. Some people, they don't like the way they feel when they're taking certain drugs. And they're always curious, is there a better way? Is there another way that I can help my body to heal? So, have you ever heard the old phrase, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? I kind of like reading research like this, but I came across this study. The title of the article is An Apple a Day Keeps Deadly Cancer Away. So let me share this with you. And I realize this is new information, but I like it when they name and identify compounds that they find in apple skins. So apple skins contain substances, perhaps maybe ursolic acid. That's U-R-S-O-L-I-C, ursolic acid. Maybe it's the polyphenols. Of course, have you ever heard that apples and onions, they contain a substance called quercetin? That's with a Q. But they're showing now that maybe this ursolic acid or the polyphenols inhibit cancer cells. So you would expect that people who eat apples every day, they have a lower risk of cancer. And that's exactly the take-home message of an Australian study that appeared in the British Journal of Nutrition in the year 2016. Here's a study right here. Epidemiologists from the University of Western Australia, they studied 1,456 women. There were no men in this study, only women. And the study started in the year 1998. In order to be in the study, you had to be at least 70 years old or older, which to me, that makes it kind of interesting, because you know what happens when a person is 70 years old. Would you imagine they have the potential for more health problems or they have less potential? No. You know how it works. You don't expect a 7-year-old girl to be sick all the time with chronic degenerative diseases like heart disease or cancer. You don't. They have brand new bodies. And so what they did was they followed these 70-plus-year-old women, 1,000 and almost 500, up until the year 2013. That's exactly 15 years, okay? So these women, they previously provide information about their diet. That means, what did they eat? What did they chew up and swallow? What did they drink? What did they take? The researchers examined whether there was a link between that diet they expressed and the risk of death. And so over a 15-year period, well, as you might expect, 41.7% of the women, they had passed away. Now, you remember, they were above the age of 70 when they started, which some women were well above 70, so it kind of makes sense. You care to guess what the leading cause of death was? It's almost 42% of the women passed away in this 15-year period. So, you know what number one was? It's cardiovascular disease. It was the leading cause of death almost 39% of the time. So that was the majority of all the cases of the women passing away. When I say cardiovascular disease, it could be anything from a heart attack, they had a myocardial infarction, they had atherosclerosis, clogged arteries, a stroke. That's probably something like that. Number two on the list was cancer. 26% of the women that died during this study, it was because of cancer. First reason, heart disease. Second reason, cancer. Now, here's the good part right here. Now, this is just the way they broke it down, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. For every half of an apple the women daily consumed, we're talking about a half an apple here. That sounds to me like that would be extremely easy to do, not hard at all. And so for every half of an apple the women consumed daily, the risk of dying over the 15-year period was reduced by 11%. Okay? And the risk of dying from cancer was reduced by 19%. I wonder if there's any research on blood pressure medication decreasing cancer. Well, no, there's not. And I think the other day I was looking up, I can't remember the name of the statin drug. It may have been a rosuvastatin, but anyway. But they show statistically, yes, there is a significant increase in the development of cancer. I think this was breast cancer. In this one study, they showed in the control group, those that took the statins, nine of the women developed breast cancer, and only one in the control group, or one on the placebo. So, let me see, 9-1. That doesn't sound too odd. Okay, here's the conclusion right here. We have shown directly that a higher apple intake was dose-dependent, associated with a lower risk of all-cause cancer mortality in elderly women. This was the summary of the researchers. Our results support the concept that an apple a day protects against death in elderly women, particularly via reductions in cancer risk. So, for every half of an apple, death rates, or the risk of dying, I'm sorry, that's the correct terminology, was down by 22%. What would happen if you ate a whole apple? Well, I don't know. Maybe that'd go up to 22% risk of reduction. Anyway, that's interesting right there. And so now you can say that you've heard about ursolic acid that comes from apples. I'll tell you this, just as an idea. Parents, what should you be feeding your kids? Should it be apple, cinnamon, fruity, nut pebble cereal? No. You should be giving them an apple. I rarely, you know, let me just kind of make it sound more simple. The problems that I see in children, a lot of times, they're directly related to the quality of the child's diet. And if the child is running the show and only eating apple, cinnamon, cocoa, sugar bomb cereal, then most likely they're going to have a very depressed immune system. And they're going to have everything that you can think of, from chronic ear infections, chronic upper respiratory tract infections, constant drainage, coughing, tummy ache after tummy ache after tummy ache, bowel problems. That'd be pretty miserable to be a young child and suffer from diarrhea or constipation. Anyway, let's just talk. You don't get that problem when you eat a real apple. I asked a man the other day, I said, have you had any success growing apples on your apple trees? And he said, no. Now, when it came to figs, the answer was yes. those guys have exploded. He said that maybe the last freeze may have been a little bit hard on the fig trees starting to come back. I noticed they have a bunch of apple trees for sale. I just don't have any experience. Do apple trees grow here? So what if you're a child? Let me flip it and turn it around. What if you're a child and you're trying to take care of an elderly parent? Should you give them apple strudel donuts? I just made that up, sorry. Or apple bars? No, give them apples. How hard would it be if you didn't want to eat an apple? Just to cut it up, add it to a tuna fish salad, put it in some type of a salad you're making, chicken salad. Those are three options right there. Or you could just cut it up in slices and say, hey, here you go. I know, that's pretty simple. Okay, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you would like to call me and ask a question, I would be glad to help. All right, especially as it relates to what do we do to help the body to repair itself. And you probably know where I'm going to go with this. You've got to give the body what it needs as far as fuel and nutrients to heal, right? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for all your wonderful advice.
Well, you're sure welcome.
You often talk about sardines. Would smoked oysters be equivalent to sardines?
No.
Okay. I like oysters so much better.
No, and I'm not saying oysters are very nutrient dense. If you like those, that'd be fine. But what I was after behind sardines, they are the rarest source of what's called ribonucleic acid. And so when you have a lack of it, guess what happens to the human body when you don't get ribonucleic acid? You don't heal. And so okay. if a person just did not feel their very best like they used to, that might be an indication. They may want to try it, you know, two doses of sardines a week. I mean, two cans.
Yeah. And you've mentioned RNA before to keep from aging so much.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's exactly right. Yeah. Because what your body says is a good repair. I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but I heard this story about this man that had a 2007 Toyota Tundra pickup that had a V8 engine, and he was super faithful in getting everything changed and maintained by the dealership. And they said he had been to the dealership 107 times over the course of because the truck hit 1,000,000 miles. He drove a lot. But they're saying, you see what happens when you really do a good job of maintaining? Well, what you tell me, what's going to happen to a vehicle if you say, I don't think I'm ever going to change the oil. I just want to see what happens. What me? Put new transmission fluid in? No, I'm not going to do it. Well, you know as well as I do. The engine will become so dirty, things will start to wear excessively, and it's going to break down, isn't it?
Right.
Same is true for the human body. So when you do not give your body enough RNA, the gland that makes it is the thymus gland. By the way, they told that guy, they said, hey, we're going to give you a brand new Toyota pickup if you'll just swap us yours. And he took the deal. Smart guy, huh? Because they wanted to do an autopsy on his Tundra pickup to see, hey, how does this thing wearing? And they found out he just did an excellent job of maintaining it. And that's what we're supposed to do with our human bodies. And so when you put high quality ingredients, guess what your body can do with those? It can do amazing things to repair. What if you age so gracefully that nobody could tell that you're 95 years old one day? They think that maybe you're 72.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be great.
I mean, don't you have work to do right now?
lots of it.
Yeah, lots of good, wholesome things that you can do that are a blessing to yourself and everybody else.
Right. What about sweet potatoes? Would they be good, healthy foods?
Yeah, they really are. I really think they are.
Uh-huh. What's a good way to prepare them besides with butter? I like butter.
Besides with butter?
I like butter.
Let me cover this topic right here. You know what spices to add flavoring to foods are, don't you?
Yes.
I think it is really a smart idea to add spices to your food, because what they have is they have compounds that are so good for the immune system. They're so good for the nervous system. They're great for digestion. They help keep your blood sugar in check, as one example, but what do you think you could sprinkle on that sweet potato that might make it taste good, but it would also, in turn, be really, really good for you, and it begins with the letter C? It sounds like the word sin, but there's no S in it. What spice?
I'm not thinking right now.
Well, I'm just playing with you, but it'd be cinnamon.
Cinnamon, okay.
Yeah, so something like cinnamon, you could sprinkle that on your sweet potato with a lot of butter, and that would be one of the best things you could do.
Okay. A couple of years ago, you mentioned that white potatoes, if we would cook them and then put them in the refrigerator, that would reduce the caloric amount a bunch. Will it do the same thing for sweet potatoes?
It does. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's the same way if you cook rice or something else.
Okay. What foods are good to help reduce blood pressure?
Well, I'm not going to answer it exactly that way. Look, give me artistic license and let me say it in advance. I had a guy that came in to see me recently, and he was saying, hey, I've got a DOT physical on Tuesday morning. I said, okay, this is Friday. What seems to be the problem? He goes, well, my blood pressure is 168 over like 112. He said, this is not going to work. They're not going to give me my driver's license. I said, yeah, I can see how that could be a problem, buddy. But anyway, what we did with him was I put him on what's called hibiscus tea, in which I'm not trying to say that hibiscus is what did the job, but if you look at studies on that particular flower, when you use it to make a tea out of, which I like it, I think I have a cup brewing right now at the office. But anyway, hibiscus has been shown to lower blood pressure. But in his case, do you know what we did to try to get him into a good place so he could pass the physical? He fasted. And I think out of all the techniques that I've ever seen, this one is free. It doesn't cost anything. But you've got to come face to face with. You might be a little bit uncomfortable. You may have to deny yourself what you want. But if you were to drink herbal teas all day long and drink water, and then the next thing is, you've just got to be willing to pace yourself, which means if you want to go for a long walk, just take your time. If you need to sit down on the ground and rest because you're tired or maybe your blood sugar's coming down quite a bit lower. But what happens is, when you fast, this is the quickest, most possible, efficient way to get your hormone called insulin to come down way, way, way lower. And I'm trying to think of the research on that. Have you ever heard of what's called human growth hormone?
Yes.
Human growth hormone is amazing stuff, and I want to say it's maybe around the 22 to maybe 24-hour mark that growth hormone starts to really, really shoot up if you're fasting. Does that make sense?
Right.
So when growth hormone goes up, it really works to repair anything and everything that's broken, that needs to be improved upon. So if you've got all this inflammation in your arteries, if you don't eat, your body's going to eat you, and it's going to try to get rid of all the gunk and debris. It's going to clean up your blood real fast, hopefully.
Okay.
And so another way of talking about this is, and all you're doing is you're trying to come to terms with whatever method works best for you. Everybody's different. Some people, if they fast for 16 hours a day and they eat everything in an 8-hour window, they do great. Other people, it takes 18, but I'd say for the vast majority of all people, if you want your body to heal, you might want to do a 24 to 36-hour fast once a week so you can start effectively healing and repairing at a much deeper, deeper level. So the easy things for me to say to lower blood pressure would be, take some coenzyme Q10. My personal favorite is an herb called hawthorn. Hawthorn has got to be literally one of the most amazing herbal remedies of all time for blood pressure. And then I think I've discussed the power of pomegranate.
Yes.
Pomegranate. Let's just say it this way. If I had a gentleman come into my office and he had done a test called the calcium scoring test, that is a very straightforward test they do at the hospital. And they take a CAT scan image of the arteries of the heart. Those are the coronary arteries. And those arteries, they're going to show you if they're calcified. And if there's a lot of calcium in your arteries, what does that mean? Those guys are super rigid and stiff because they're clogged up. You don't want that. But I have seen things like inositol hexaphosphate and pomegranate and hawthorn greatly reduce the calcium score to the point. I've seen men that have done these things because they were consistent and they knew what they were doing, that over a relatively short period of time, their arteries just magically became clean again where there was no plaque or calcification. And what does that attest to? The amazing power of God's creation to repair itself if you give it the right circumstances. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
But those are several things I'd look at if I were you.
Okay. In talking about fasting, I would agree that that would be great, but I've got another problem similar to that. In eating, and I'm a single person, I just keep on eating. I find something else to eat because I'm always hungry.
If you fast, you'll break that. It'll totally get rid of all that stuff. But you've got to fast.
Is there some type of food that I could eat that would help me to feel full so I'd don't feel hungry anymore?
Yeah, usually sawdust mixed with vinegar does a good job. I'm just joking with you. No, and I know I really get where you're coming from, and I'm totally very sympathetic. But here's the first step. dear Lord, I need to take better care of myself. What can I do? I think I'm going to fast. And I can't remember exactly. It may be Isaiah chapter, 56, 57, 58, about fasting. It says the purpose of fasting is to unburden the yoke of slavery and bondage. You know, it's referring to sin. But I have individual after a person after person, patient after, hundreds of patients tell me, this is the first time I've broken the bondage of food by fasting. Why don't you go into YouTube today and just watch some short videos about fasting, and you'll figure out real quick this is the fastest way to break that bondage of food.
Okay.
I call it a bondage because what happens? The moment you don't eat, you're thinking about, when's my next snack?
Yes.
But you're never, see, and the thing of it is, if you don't get your insulin levels lower, you're never going to fix anything in the body because it just screws everything up. You're never going to get your blood pressure fixed, and you're never going to get rid of the food cravings and the desire to eat. It ain't going to happen. So you've got to be willing to come face to face with, if you will fast, you will break the bondage of that faster than any other technique I've ever heard of.
Okay. And because you've often always talked about intermittent fasting, I generally don't eat breakfast, but when I eat dinner in the evening, it just seems to go on and on because I'm not full.
Because you've got way too much insulin pumping out in your bloodstream. Insulin is incredible. It makes you have this sensation. You just cannot be satisfied. You're insatiable. You just keep eating and eating. That's too much insulin. It's just the hormones in your body are controlling you like a puppet on a string. You know what you could do easy? I don't tell anybody my business. It's just not important. But I made myself a protein smoothie for lunch. I love walnuts. And I just sprinkle walnuts on top of it. I think it was just blueberries and maybe cherries. I think I put some coconut milk powder, and I think I had some black currant, you know, dehydrated powder. It's kind of like a powder, kind of like a purple powder. But anyway, that's what I had with sprinkled some walnuts on top of it, and I drank it down. I did not eat Saturday night. It was perfectly fine. The key is just go to bed. It's going to be bad for maybe an hour where you're going, I got to have, you know, this right here. You don't have to have anything. Wake up Monday morning and tell yourself, I'm going to get through this. Nobody knows I didn't eat breakfast. So there's a 24-hour fast right there. It's amazing what's going to happen to you. It really will.
Okay.
So go to YouTube and watch some videos on fasting and just skip the part about intermittent, because the body is a creature of habit. And if you do intermittent fasting and you get stuck, I mean, you're just trying to unblock the body. So can I give you a different example?
Okay.
If a person came to me and said, Dr. Morgan, I weigh 428 pounds. I've tried fasting. It doesn't work. Well, describe it to me. And they'll say, well, for 16 hours a day, I'm not eating. And then for 8 hours a day, I'm eating everything I'm eating in the 8-hour window. I'm going, okay. Well, for those cases, sometimes the metabolism can become quite sluggish and quite difficult and quite stuck. So what you may have to do is you may have to fast for 24 to 36 to 42 to 48 just to get a breakthrough. But you're telling your body, if you don't feed your body's going to say, oh my goodness, I'm not getting anything for breakfast. What am I going to do? Your body's going to eat you. But that's what you want. Now, the truth of it is, we're living in a toxic world. There's no such thing as the Garden of Eden any longer. Yes, I would like to go there. I've read Bible scholars say that Mount Moriah was where the Garden of Eden was created. Or that's how am I supposed to know that? I'm just reading what they're saying. You've done that sort of thing, haven't you?
Yes.
And so we're gonna come in contact with toxins from the food, from the water. I tell you what, fasting is one of those techniques where you can start breaking this hold of the food on your body. And you will do it. But it's probably going to take 24 to 36 to 42 to do that. And drink all the water you want. Drink all the herbal tea. Pray to God. Pray and read your Bible nonstop. That sounds like a winner.
Amen. What about apple cider vinegar?
I would say
that be helpful?
You might. Yeah, that's one option you have. You might could do that. Some people do bone broth, or they'll do fruit juices. But from my experience, if you just do water and herbal tea, I think that's the best way.
Okay.
Okay. And remember, I'm really trying to be straight and honest with you. I'm not trying to dilly-dally or dance around the topic. But that's really what you need, because the bottom line is, if you keep doing what you're doing, your body's kind of used to that. You just got to throw a change-up in there. That's why if you fasted for 24 hours once a week or 36, it would probably go a long way to jump-starting almost every aspect of healing and repair and rejuvenation and detoxification. I forgot to mention that part. You might detox a little bit, which right. means if yucky stuff comes out of you, you need to say, thanks, I'm glad you're leaving my body. This is a good thing.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for your call. I really appreciate you.
All righty.
Have a good day, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I'm going to share with you this next piece of research right here, which, to me, this is interesting. And this is like anything else. What's the message? The sooner that you start doing things that benefit your health, the better. You do not want to wait till it's you're at the end. I mean, you can, but I wouldn't recommend that. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, Dr. Morgan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Good. What I was calling about is my daughter was diagnosed with 28.
And I think you cut out. Diagnosed with what?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that part. I did now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're great. It's wonderful road, cell phone technology.
Oh, yeah. So she was diagnosed. They eventually put her on some medicine. She had a bad reaction to it. They put her on some other medicine.
Do you remember the name of it?
They were a biologic.
Well, that means they're made from stem cells from babies.
Yes, probably so.
Yeah, well, if it's called something like Embryl or something like that.
That might have been one.
Yeah.
So, but now she's taking methotrexate, but she would like, I know we've talked to her about trying to take supplements and different things.
Is she pretty agreeable to that idea?
Yeah, she's actually started taking like some vitamin D3. And,
okay, well, that's a good start. Excellent. Yay.
So, I mean, she has taken supplements and all that. We just don't know what else to really tell her.
The most important is what you take away. And I know you know where I'm going to go with this. So if somebody has rheumatoid, I don't know that I've ever seen one case where I didn't have to take away something that was blocking them or that was a trigger. So it's either, in her case, it's going to be dairy or corn or wheat or sugar.
Okay.
Which, if I had my way, I mean, I had I can't remember if this was 3 weeks ago. There was a woman that came to see me with just really horrible rheumatoid. So if I looked at her hands, guess what they look like? They look like somebody took a bicycle pump and put the needle under her skin and started pumping. They were that swollen. They looked like they were totally puffed up with air. But, you know, when I felt them, that was just all swelling. But my point is, that's where the immune system is attacking her right now. It was in the back of her hands. Does that make sense?
Yes, and my sister has rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh,
and she was diagnosed at a young age also. And then my grandfather had rheumatoid arthritis. But, like, I never had any problems with any of it. But
well, and I'm really thankful for that. Thank goodness. Yeah, but your daughter, did you say she's 28 years old?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, here's some of the... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say she was diagnosed probably over a year ago. So,
where is it mainly manifest, or is it moving around?
Well, it started off her thumb, which was kind of weird, but it's like her thumb started hurting and bothering her, and then her hands. And now, I mean, she can't really pinpoint. It's like, you know, different times, like her body just hurts. She feels run down, different things like that. You know, we
poor thing. She's just drowning in an ocean of inflammation right now. Bless her heart.
And I mean, she's a paramedic, and she's.
Well, at least I know now she doesn't have any intense stress in her life. That's good to know. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, sir.
If I'm not mistaken, paramedics, they have a pretty high burnout rate, don't they?
Yes, sir. She okay. handles all that pretty well. You know, just like I've taught her that when she has a situation, a bad situation that she goes on, she needs to call somebody and talk it out.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. What a good dad you are.
And she calls me a lot of times and tells me about the different things. And, you know, because I used to do EMT stuff. I'm in law enforcement, so she knows I understand and kind of, you know. So she has that, but she has a lot of other stress in life. I mean,
well, yes, and it's just the way that this world is set up. There's no one that's immune from just all the aspects of life. Bless her heart. Well, what we need to do is we need to find a way to make her stronger. So if I had a computer in front of me right now, like a laptop, I would type in fasting and rheumatoid arthritis, and what you would discover is it's the most incredible way to get them out of pain. But if you ask me about supplements, this is probably what my first... Can I just give you four or five choices to try to help your daughter?
Yes.
I would say I would get... Do you know, have you ever heard of cod liver oil?
Yes, I take cod liver oil.
Okay, she may have to take about 6 capsules of cod liver oil a day, but that's going to go a long way to helping her body more effectively deal with inflammation. That could be a good one. Now, other studies are really clear. It's a root. I make these things too complicated. I'm so sorry. Have you heard of ginger? Of course you have. But,
yes,
but ginger has shown... Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm making everything too difficult this morning.
Ginger tea?
Yes, but what I was going to say is I think the studies that I'm remembering, they actually took concentrated just ginger capsules. So like if you went to the store and they already had ginger, but I'm telling you, you can buy ginger root really cheaply. You can plant it and grow it if you want to. You can juice it. You can take a cheese grater and grate over your food, but any amount of ginger that she consumes is probably going to go a long way to really helping her body function better.
Okay, so they have that in a capsule.
Yes, I just took way too long to say capsule, but that would be the simplest way for her. If she gets high quality ginger in a capsule. She's probably going to say, Dad, you're a genius. What did you do? Did you do a drug bust and take the ginger home for yourself? And no, I'm just joking. You don't do drug bust where there's where they're carrying a kilo of ginger, do you?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Jacksonville PD, we have 2 kilos of ginger in the trunk of this car. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But ginger's going to be one of her very best supplements to take. Or... You know, like anything else, the more that she can add this to food, or like you said, you had a great idea, ginger tea, that's going to be really, really good for her.
Right.
I actually bought some tea yesterday. It's called lemon ginger tea.
Yes,
because I want to try
it. My wife's bought that.
Oh, yeah. I like trying all that stuff. The other thing that I think might be very, very worthwhile is a substance called turmeric.
Yes,
and which technically, if you look at a picture of it, it looks like the same as a ginger root. It's just like a bright yellow orange instead of a paler color.
Yeah, it's orange, all right.
So the other thing is, and this is just an idea, but have you ever heard of carnivore diet?
Yeah, a meat diet.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's what you should stick with forever, but it may be that 2 days a week all she does is just eat fish and chicken or eggs. And she might go, oh, my goodness, I have the most incredible relief of all time. When I do that, Dad, you're a genius. How did you know to do these things? Well, sweetheart, I've been reading scientific literature. So those are things. But can I be negative just for a second?
Yes.
And I'm not doing this to bring anybody down, but it is unsustainable to stay on methotrexate. You can't do it. It can't be done.
Yes, sir. And she don't really want to take medication, but it's like she doesn't take the shot or the what do you call it?
Remicade.
No, I'm thinking of the
Plaquenil?
Steroids.
Steroid. Oh yeah, I know what you meant.
She doesn't take steroids.
Oh no, that's not a problem. The steroids would be great. She could easily pack on 30 pounds in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, she has steroids, but she doesn't want to take them because she don't want to rely on them because she
exactly.
knows that all it does is prolong things and. Her body's going to break down anyway.
Well, and that's it. We got to focus on the last. All these things are going to make her body break down, but I want her to heal and rejuvenate. So we've got to figure out what is the best type of dietary regimen. I would say meat and vegetables with a little bit of fruit on top, off the top of my head.
Okay.
Does she like to eat seafood by chance?
I do not think she's a seafood person.
Okay. Because I was going to recommend lots of salmon, flounder, halibut, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Catfish doesn't count.
Yeah.
I had this little girl in the office the other day. I said, what's your favorite food? She said, I love seafood, Dr. Morgan. I'm going, really? She said, yeah, fried catfish.
Yeah,
I was let down just a little bit.
But I know she likes chicken and... course, you know, red meat.
Well, right now, I know it's impossible to cover every topic, but all this, the whole goal at this point is to get her into remission where her immune system is so quiet that it's not attacking her joints like the thumb and the hand or the fingers. But, you know, with the rheumatoid, it's probably going to move around from there to the shoulder to some other location. And I think the quicker that she just comes to terms with, what do I have to do, the quicker she can be completely free of all this pain and suffering. Now, you realize what I'm telling you? You're not going to hear any of this from a rheumatologist. It ain't going to happen. It's going to be, you're going to be on these medications the rest of your life, sweetheart.
Yeah, and the methotrexate, she knows that, like, if she ever wants to have a kid, she's got to get off that for, like, you know, a good period of time before she even... tries to have a kid, and she can't take it while she's pregnant or anything like
well,
that.
Well, I would love it if we could prove very, very quickly that she doesn't need the methotrexate.
Well, and she don't want to take it. Like,
no, and I get you, but how are we going to get? Yeah. How are we going to go from she don't want to do it to getting her free of all this problem? How are we going to do that?
Yeah,
and that means she's going to have to change the circumstances of her diet and lifestyle in order to accomplish that, because this is going to be your undoing. I mean, I don't even
know.
I
know she's cut sugar out a lot.
Good.
She has sugar, but, like, she went on the keto diet for a while and all that. But she's kind of got off that, and, you know.
Well, obviously, if she did something in it, then and the fruit of it or the results was she felt really, really good, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So... I mean, these are things that she can do right now. I'm really rooting for her.
So, does she need to stay away from red meat, or just is red meat fine?
Well, and that's the reason why I led with fish, because the more fish you consume, the lower the rheumatoid arthritis every single time.
Okay.
And I saw the show the other day where these men, they caught wild goldfish and tried to clean them and eat them. It did not go well. They said it. You can't be eaten. It's too yucky.
Yeah.
So she can all these things. She could, if she started drinking herbal tea, and that could be everything from white tea to green tea, to, you know, whatever herbal mixture. Just like you said a while ago, ginger tea. If she started drinking that all day long, that's going to have a significant effect on the inflammation in her body, and that's going to help her. So maybe we could just do the simple things, but literally, she can start doing yoga every night. if she wanted to, or stretching in front of the television if she wanted to do that.
So, fasting and...
I'm telling you right now, fasting is the quickest way to get her into remission. I've never seen it. If you just typed in, does fasting do anything for the severe pain of rheumatoid, and just see what you come up with. Now, if you wanted me to do this for you in 1984 when I was in college, it would only take me about 13 and a half weeks to find the article on the Dewey Decimal System. But now you can just look it up on a laptop in like one nanosecond, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm sure rooting for you, and let me know how I can help. But all these things are good things to do.
Okay. Well, Dr. Morgan, I sure appreciate you.
You're sure welcome. I hope your day... Are you working today?
No, sir. I'm actually going to a wood turning meeting.
You're where?
I'm going to a wood turner meeting.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
It is.
I saw a stump on the side of the road the other day. I said, man, that'd be a blast to put that on a lathe and make a bowl out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
It is.
Well, good for you. You have a bunch of fun today. I'm glad to hear about that.
All right. You have a good day.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a safe trip. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. What you want is you want a person to come to the point where they're actually, they're going, okay, I'm actually ready now. I'm going to do it. And because the thing of it is, when you have like an autoimmune disease, you just can't do it halfway. You kind of need to be all in. And then if you see great results, then you're going to say, wow, I'm glad I didn't, you know, dally. Good morning and welcome to the program. This is Dr. Morgan.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question about itchiness in the skin.
Where is it itchy?
Well, there's not an excluded place. It's like at the ankles, it's at the back of my neck. It's spontaneous where it pops up, but when I scratch it, it's like the itchiness is deeper into the skin. There's no sores, there's no rash, there's nothing there.
So you can look in the mirror or you can look at your ankle and you don't see anything there that looks like red, angry, inflamed skin, right?
No, inflamed skin, but the itchiness is like below the skin level.
Are you taking any drugs of any kind, even over the counter?
No, I'm very much health conscious. In fact, I do drink the ginger tea, and I don't take medications.
Would you recommend ginger tea to the young lady earlier?
Oh, yeah, I drink it all the time. It's a little bit of that lemon squeezed in it, and I have a pitcher in my fridge on a regular basis.
Okay, do you know what sucralose is or Splenda?
Splenda, yes. I don't eat that, but I know
good.
What it is.
Good. So you don't have any contact with that stuff. Okay.
No.
So are you generally a very healthy woman?
Yeah. For my age, I don't have any major medical. I am diabetic, but I control it by diet. In fact, I watch a lot of what I do, and so it stays.
But you're not taking any oral glucose lowering medications at all?
No. Uh-uh.
Does that mean you're out of diabetes?
Well, when I do my own testing, I'm in 90s, and I don't.
Well, that sounds pretty good to me.
I just do that intermittent fasting.
Okay,
and that's
cool.
How I control it, and it works for me. So I don't want drugs. I see my older sister walks around like a pharmacy, and she's only 4 years difference from me, and I'm over here lifting 100-pound bales of hay. So
so she's got a motorized wheelchair to carry her drugs around with, right?
You're right. She's
oh
in a wheelchair
dear.
Now.
Oh, no, yeah. No, no. I wasn't trying to make a joke. I'm so sorry.
No.
But I don't know if you've ever heard before, but my mother was a twin.
Oh.
But her twin sister, she had a much different lifestyle than my mother did, and I think she passed away like easily 20 years earlier on tons of medication, whereas my mother never took a drug in her life. But anyway... But that's interesting, your story. But back to the itching that's deep in that area. So you've just got to let me do this my way, okay?
Okay.
When I have a situation like this in front of me, I'm going to go through all the questions, and I'm just barely scratching the surface with you. But the first order of business in my mind is, if you're not taking any drugs that might be having a side effect, and you're not consuming a substance like Splenda or sucralose or aspartame, that might have a toxic reaction, I'm going, okay, where is it coming from? And so,
Yeah,
but that's what you got to do. And so, if you'll just give me artistic license, let me tell you what I think about this, just from what I've seen before. Okay. If you got this deep itching in the skin, now, all the old-time doctors that were around like 100 years ago, you know what they used to call the skin? They always called it the third kidney. And so,
really?
Yeah, so if you've ever been to like the grocery store or like a hardware store or like Walmart or Target, you might notice that there's an older gentleman wearing a white T-shirt. And look, if you look around the neck of the T-shirt and the armpits, it looks like it's pretty yellow. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think is causing that yellow staining?
Coming from his cells, I would guess, of the skin.
Yes, but there's not that much difference between the urine that your kidneys extract from the bloodstream, you know, the waste and sweat.
Uh-huh.
It's all about the same stuff. So when you sweat and perspire, that's a way that you help detox the body. That's one way. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Okay. Yes.
And so if you have itching around the ankles, I've got to take a look at the kidneys. That's one thing that I've seen. So even if it doesn't make logical sense to you, but let me say it a different way. Have you ever heard of a disease called hypertension or high blood pressure?
Yes.
Well, you know, they always call it the silent killer. Have you heard that?
Yes.
So I have a friend who's absolutely, in my mind, he's got to be in the top one, two, or three of the finest Christian men that I have ever seen in my lifetime. I don't even know if there's a better Christian example of what a man should look like than looking at Davey. But anyway, he's had a kidney replacement, and they think it's because he had uncontrollable high blood pressure for maybe 20 years. And so my whole point in this is, the kidneys don't do a great job of giving off a lot of information when they're under stress. And so if you were to go to a doctor, there's a very simple test, or a nurse practitioner or a nurse. It's called sometimes they call it CMP for short, but it just means a comprehensive metabolic profile or panel. And what they do is they look at kidney function, but the easy ones they measure, they do one called BUN. BUN, it's an acronym for blood, urea, nitrogen. So if that's right in the middle of the normal range, then just scratch what I'm talking about. Then the next one is creatinine. If that is, you know, below one, then forget what I'm talking about. But if it's above one, like 1.345, then you got a problem. That means your blood's pretty dirty because the kidneys aren't filtering the waste out. And then the last one is called GFR. That's also an acronym for glomerular filtration rate. That tells me how efficient the kidneys are working. So if yours comes back at 119, that means your kidneys are operating at 119% perfect potential. That means they're super efficient. If it's 100, that's perfect. But let's just say it goes to 94. That means the kidneys are only working at 94% efficiency, and that means there's some damage to the kidneys. And so I don't know unless we do this, but if you've got like this deep itching, you might want to look into something like that.
Okay.
Have you been for an exam or a blood test recently?
Not recently, I guess because I don't have anything going on except for this. But it doesn't happen every day. It's just kind of sometimes it'll happen for a day or two, and then it'll go away for a month, and then it'll come back again. I'm like, oh my goodness, now what?
Okay, so the kidneys are one of the things that I would think of. And so the next one, I'll go on to that. Your skin is under 24-hour-a-day surveillance by the liver. And so if there's anything that might, you know, cause damage to the liver, so do you know whether or not you have a fatty liver or do you have a very healthy liver?
I've always been told I've had a healthy liver.
Okay. No, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, I've never had any really, like I said, the diabetes was a surprise, but that's inherited. So a lot of that also my family on my mom's side had
diabetes.
Yeah,
but what you're doing is you're taking steps to try to counter the family weakness, right?
Right.
Good job.
I'm not taking all the standards. They give everybody metformin. It's like everybody doesn't have the same kind of diabetes. Why are you giving them the same medication? But I did go to a chiropractor when I lived in North Carolina that specialized in nutrition as well, and they did a full panel on tummy down to your saliva. I mean, they checked everything. And then he had a report. He could tell me, if we do this, this, and this, and then we can get you down to where, you know, your diabetes will be almost gone. And so I just kind of started what he was telling me and just kept that up. And so
I know where you're talking about. That happened. His name is Dr. Raleigh, and that was in Mayberry. Am I right?
Yes.
See?
Yes.
I'm pretty smart.
Well, they don't have that in Texas, and now I'm in Texas going,
oh, no, dear, what are you going to do? How are you going to figure this? Okay, so let's go to the other one right here. What I'm doing is I'm trying to give you ideas. I'm looking for a bite somewhere where you can throw me a bone and tell me what the problem is. But there is the master control gland of the immune system is called the thymus gland. Okay. You ever heard of the thymus gland?
Yes.
Okay, it's extremely important. It always makes the difference totally between who lives and who dies. I know that's kind of a drastic way for me to say it. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but if somebody passes away of natural causes at like 66 years of age, you can bet your bottom dollar the thymus gland's not even remotely working. For all I know, it may have atrophied or just disappeared from toxicity. But if somebody lives to be 97 and they can still drive their car to church on Sunday morning and, you know, do their own yard work and take care of themselves, their thymus gland's still working. But one of the hallmarks of a thymus gland that's not working right is itching, especially deep itching. So that's a clue. So I've got to figure out what's not working right. I don't know what your age is, but let me just give you some numbers right here. When a woman is 60 years old, she's probably already lost about 60% of her thymus gland. The term that's used in medicine is called involution. I didn't say evolution. Involution is when your thymus cells begin to atrophy and die, and they're replaced by globs of fat.
Okay.
So, This is not hard to figure out. I don't know what to tell you, but if you've got the itching, this is 100% your body's telling you something's not working right. Now, I can give you, if you ask me for suggestions, I can do that easy. There's a type of herbal tea called nettle tea.
How do you spell that one?
N-E-T-T. That wasn't meant to be funny. L-E. Mm-hmm. Like a bull nettle or a stinging nettle.
Okay.
It's one of the most nutritious plants of all time. It really is. You just can't go up and grab it. It hurts.
I probably sprayed it out of the farmyard here.
Yeah, you probably did. Well, if you've ever touched it, it'll get your attention real quick.
Okay.
I watched my nephew hit the sandy berm on a bicycle going real fast, and he flipped and landed right in the middle of a patch of bull nettles without his shirt on.
Ouch.
I've never seen a human being pop up so fast in my life.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's got your body's telling you by the itching on the back of your neck and also around your ankles that something's not working right. I have to go through. That's the problem with radio. I can't examine you and figure out if it's an allergy or if it's a weakness or problem with the kidneys, the liver, or the thymus gland, but that's what I have to go with. So
do
in the
you see patients like that?
Yeah, I do.
Where are you located?
Well, I'm not in Raleigh, North Carolina, or Mayberry.
No,
I live in
Texas now.
Well, I'm in Jacksonville.
You're in Jacksonville? We're over here in Lindale. You're not far.
No, not at all.
I didn't realize. I didn't know where you're from. I just listen to you all the time. But
yeah.
Well,
now you know I'm in Jacksonville. And actually, I'm live at the radio station as we speak.
Yeah,
I don't think you...
the time and they told me, call on Saturday morning.
Who told you?
The radio station I had called.
Oh, did you call?
Okay.
Well, I don't think you really realize what a large, sophisticated metropolis Jacksonville is. Very sophisticated. I'll leave it at that.
Really?
Yeah, but what you have to do is, that's the job of the physician. He's got to pinpoint what the primary cause is, which is very, very challenging. Because if you don't figure that out, then you're just looking at giving some drugs. Like right now, if you have itching, well, you know what? You can take a boatload of Benadryl, can't you?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Well, if you want to have dementia, I guess that would be a good plan. Did you know that Benadryl is the number one drug, if you abuse it, you develop Alzheimer's and dementia? How damaging is that? It's pretty damaging.
Yeah. I know some elderly people that take it on a regular basis.
Well, and I bet you they're cognitive. They're probably super slow mentally, aren't they?
Yes.
I'm not trying to say that lightly. I hate all that, but no one has told them that Benadryl will destroy the brain.
Mm-mm. No, I've never heard that.
And so there's got to be some way that we can easily, simply figure this out while you have the deep itching, but your body is doing its job right now. It's telling you something's wrong. Yeah. So that could be one thing. If you live in Lindale, you could easily go to one of those direct care clinics, get in touch with a nurse practitioner. I love nurse practitioners. They're fabulous. They're so kind and easy to work with. I like them. But you could say, I've got some itching. Can we do like a standard blood workup? Let's find, and the other one is a CBC with a differential.
Okay, I know what that is. Okay.
Yeah, but those are simple things that you, when you say you have a medical background, what's your specialty?
I worked in a NIC unit for 5 years.
Are you a nurse?
No, I got to be the only person that wasn't a nurse in there. They called us back then a unit secretary, but I did all the doctor's orders, and I could get as involved as I wanted to and step back as far as I wanted to.
Do they let you hold babies?
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that?
Oh, yeah.
What's the smallest baby you've ever held in your arms? What did it weigh?
23 weeks.
How much did the baby weigh?
It was right around, less than a pound.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even have a way to conceptualize that. That's incredible.
It survived. She survived.
Oh, my goodness. 23 weeks. Oh, wow.
They're a little bit more... they were a little bit stronger, the girls were, than the boys, but now, sometimes they'll have medical problems, though, blindness or
now,
things like
this
that.
This week, I'm going to tell you, a woman came to see me because she lifted a baby horse. It didn't go well. So, the horse wasn't born early either. It wasn't 1 pound.
No, I have horses. Their baby's about 65 pounds.
Hey, that's what I discovered. You're allergic to your horse. Better get rid of him.
No, that's not happening.
Okay, so the ball's in your court. Take it and run with it, and let's figure this out.
All righty. Well, all right. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day, man. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Could you imagine a 23-week-old baby? You could hold it in the palm of your hand. I've never had an experience like that. You know that they have babies need to be held, don't you? Just like human beings do. I mean, when you get a really good hug or you hold hands, that generates a chemical from the hypothalamus into the pituitary called oxytocin. Oxytocin sometimes is called the love hormone. And, I literally, that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, I think in 1 John. God is love. I like it. Unfortunately, I have like maybe 30 seconds left in the program, so I don't think I really have time to take another phone call. So if you will, call back next week. Lord willing, I'll be here at 7 o'clock, and I'll be happy to answer any question that you may have and do my very best to be very helpful. Yeah, but that's one of the ways that you can lower blood pressure and you get rid of horrific stress is by physical touch. I don't mean a weird hug where somebody tries to grab you in a bear hug and they crush you. That wouldn't be comfortable, would it? But no, like a legitimate one. And the longer that you hold it, the more oxytocin. These are all free chemicals that you can tap into. Anyway, we're out of time today. This is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. And you're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.